Thank you, Mrs. Swinton, and thank God in Jesus Christ we are heirs to God and joint heirs with Jesus. And may we never forget it. Last week we began a series, a two or three sermon series, I don't know what it'll become yet, but on what does the Bible say pleases the Lord? You know, we know that obeying God is better than sacrifice. We know that there's some things that God hates with extreme hatred. He calls them abominations. We preached a series on that earlier also. But I want us to look just at the opposite, at some things the Scripture has said that pleased God. Now, I want to please Him. I want to obey Him with my life. I want to do those things that honor Him. And if I can be sure that these things please God, I ought to make it my business to see that I do them and I practice them. I used as my text verse, Proverbs 16, verse 7. The Bible says, when a man's ways please the Lord, he maketh even his enemies to be at peace with him. And I emphasized last week that there are some ways, some course of life, some actions and manners of life that really do please God, because he said, when a man's ways please God. By the way, may I say to you, the conflicts we have in our own personal life with others is not because we're living to please God. Our conflicts with others are because we're living to please ourselves. And when we live to please ourselves, it causes contention with other people. But the Bible says when a man's ways please the Lord, we make even our enemies to be at peace with him. Now, why is that? Because God's ways are honest. God's ways are right. God's ways are not selfish. God's ways are just. God's ways do not take advantage of innocent people or willfully hurt other people. So when our ways please the Lord, those people we work with, those people that may hate Christianity and may despise us, are at peace with us because of the way and manner of life that we've chosen to live, a way that pleases the Lord. Now, last week, I'm just going to hit these quickly and not talk about them, but we talked and said last week it pleased the Lord to bless Israel. Numbers 24:1, and when Balaam saw that it pleased the Lord to bless Israel, he went not as other times to seek enchantments, but he set his face toward the wilderness. And the point I wanted to make there is that it pleased God to bless Israel. May I say to you, it still does. And God's promise and God's covenant with Abraham is still in effect. He said, when it comes to Israel, I'll bless them that bless Israel and curse them that curse them. And let us not forget that. And God is looking to the day when Israel will turn to Christ. It'll be after the rapture. But there will be that day, and God is going to be so pleased when Israel turns to Christ as Messiah. Secondly, last week we talked about the fact that it pleased the Lord to restore his backslidden people when they return to him in repentance. God gets no glory out of judging and chastening any of his children. Now, I corrected my children on many, many occasions. Sometimes I think I didn't do it enough. I'm sure they would tell you I did it too much. I didn't do it as much as my wife did, but when I corrected them, I made it count. Okay? But the Lord, I never corrected my children. I never gave my children a spanking or my grandsons a spanking, and I spanked them, where I got joy out of it. I tell you what did thrill me is when they did wrong. When they lost that fellowship with Daddy and Mama and they came back with tears in their eyes saying, "I'm so sorry, we were wrong, please forgive us." And oh, how it pleased this Daddy to be able to restore them to that place of fellowship as a child. And may I say, if that's true of an earthly father, how much truer is that of our Heavenly Father when we backslide and we come back to God with a change of mind and a change of heart, seeing our sin and our wayward condition like He sees it, and realize it was sin against Him and seek forgiveness and restoration and fellowship once again. Thirdly, I told you last week that it pleased the Lord when Solomon asked for wisdom and understanding. He could have asked anything of the Lord, but he asked for an understanding heart that he might judge his people. He asked for wisdom. And it still pleases God when we want wisdom more than things. Wisdom is learning how to operate according to God's economy, according to God's will and God's mind, and not the world's. What do we do in certain situations? Well, God would have us to learn what He would do and what His Word teaches and live like that. And it pleases the Lord when His children seek wisdom. We talked about that, and I won't get into that. Fourthly, We told you last week that it pleased the Lord God to provide a complete sacrifice for man's sin through the suffering and dying of his own son. The Bible says that he saw the travail of his soul. It pleased the Lord to bruise him. Oh my, I can't imagine that. But God was pleased to provide complete redemption for his children. And I closed out the message last Wednesday night, and I reminded you of one thing and one way we can never please God. Number five, God wants us to know that as long as we walk and live for this flesh, we cannot please God. Romans 8:8 says, "So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God." Now, that does not mean that as long as we're in this body of flesh, we cannot please God. What it means is as long as we live to please the flesh and to let the flesh rule over us, we can't please God. He wants us to know if we're going to please God, we've got to learn to walk in the Spirit. We've got to learn to be yielded to the Holy Spirit of God. And then that brings us to our sixth point. Paul teaches us how to walk to please God and the ways we walk that don't please God. Turn in your Bible to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. There is a way that we walk. Now, I'm not talking about whether or not we take long strides or short, or whether we're prissy or not. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about our walk of life, our way of life. I'm talking about how that we live in such a way, in dealing with others and dealing with our family, our way of life pleases God. Our walk in life pleases God. Bible says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse number 1, "Furthermore, then we beseech you, brethren, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus Christ, that as ye have received of us, how ye ought to walk and to please God, so ye would abound more and more. For you know what commandments we gave you by the Lord Jesus. For this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that you should abstain from fornication, and that every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor, not in the lust of concupiscence, even as the Gentiles which know not God, that no man go beyond and defraud his brother in any matter, because that the Lord is the avenger of all such, as we also have forewarned you and testified. For God hath not called us to uncleanness, but unto holiness." Now we'll leave off reading there and you can be seated. Paul teaches us how to walk to please God. And then he tells us some things that we're not to do if we're going to please God. So let's look at these for just a moment. He says how you ought to walk to please God. And in walking that way, you abound more and more. You grow and mature. You become a stronger Christian and a more useful Christian and a more blessed Christian. Abound more and more. And so he says, "For this is the will of God, even your sanctification." Now that word sanctification means to be set apart. Now there is a positive aspect and a negative aspect to sanctification. And every Christian is set apart in Christ Jesus. We're set apart in Christ Jesus. That is, our sins have been imputed to the account of Christ. His righteousness has been imputed to our account. We're set apart in the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. And we have a perfect, complete standing in heaven in Christ Jesus. Now let me say this to you. You can do nothing to add to our standing in Christ Jesus in heaven. He perfectly paid our sin debt. He paid for it completely. He paid for it fully. He paid for it freely, and it's forever finished in Christ Jesus. And that's the standing of every saved person from Christ's point of view as God looks at us in Jesus Christ. Now we're set apart in Christ. May I say in the second place, we're set apart for Christ. Now, if we are set apart in Christ and set apart for Christ, if we're not yielding our life to His will, then our way is not pleasing Him. If we're living for ourselves without any thought of what He'd have us to do, if we're acting the way we want to act without any thought of how He'd want us to act, if we're behaving ourselves to fulfill the flesh and we allow the flesh to rule over us, and not the Spirit, we're not pleasing God. We're not pleasing Him in the least. We have been sanctified, set apart in Christ, and set apart for Christ. May I go a step further? We're set apart for Christ's service in the local church. Now you say, how do you know that? Because that's the only program He has. Through the local church in the church age. And this is the church age. It's His will for every Christian not only to be saved and know it, but be baptized and faithfully be a member of a local New Testament church. You say, preacher, there's a lot of them not doing it. You're right. And they don't please God when they don't do it. It doesn't please God when God's people lay out of God's house, don't attend faithfully. We use every kind of excuse in the world for reasons not to attend. I'm not talking about reasons. I'm talking about excuses. Well, I'm just tired. It's just too hot to go to church. Those are excuses. Those are allowing the flesh to rule. It's too hot for me to get up and mow my yard on Tuesday morning. But I got up at 6 o'clock and mowed it at 6:30. It was still hot. But we do what we want to do, don't we? Something's wrong when our want to is not fixed at salvation and we don't want to serve God. We don't want to live for Him. I'm talking about Christians that know they ought to do it. I'm not talking about a person that got saved on soul winning and has never heard anything else. I'm talking about people that's been saved, been in church, been in Sunday school, been taught. What's wrong? I'll tell you what's wrong. They're living in the flesh. And their ways do not please the Lord. He says, we have been sanctified in Christ Jesus. So that sanctification sets us apart in Christ with a right standing in heaven. And that sanctification sets us apart for our service to Him down here. Now, whether or not our service down here is pleasing to Him is another question. Whether we're faithful, whether we're serving, whether we're living, we're giving, we're growing, we're praying, we're witnessing, what are we doing to advance the cause of Christ and put it down? No matter what you call it, ultimately our service for God is to advance His kingdom. To get people saved. To enlarge His family. Everything we do. Everything God does for us. Whether it be His power. Is not just to make us a super Christian. But it's to make us effective in serving Him. His spiritual gifts. Aren't for us to brag about and say, I got more than you and I'm better than you. I'm a greater Christian than you because my gift is this and yours is this. I'm a arm and you're just a little toe. No, the spiritual gifts are to make it possible for us to be effective in an area of service for the Lord Jesus Christ. So we've been set apart in Christ and we've been set apart for Christ. Now, that's His doing. But hey, there's a part of sanctification that has to do with me and you and our actions, our choices. I decide how I'm going to walk. I decide how I'm going to act. I decide whether the Holy Spirit's going to rule over me or not. I decide whether I'm going to be a smart aleck or I'm going to be submissive. I decide whether I'm going to be a bully or I'm going to be kind and caring. I'll decide whether I'm going to be a brawler or I'm going to be a soul winner. I'll decide whether I'm going to be a liar or I'm going to tell the truth. I'll decide. Hey, I make that decision about my walk. I choose to walk that. I even choose to love. By the way, may I say to you, say, I don't love so and so. Choose to love them. Amen. Then do those things to make love grow, and love will grow. Love is a choice. It begins with a choice. I chose to love that woman over there 49 plus years ago. You do the things, you say, but you hadn't been married that long. Well, I loved her before I got married. I didn't say, well, let's get married and see if it works out. Man, I loved her. I was in love with her. I chose to love her. I didn't think she was ever going to get the right answer, though. Told her I loved her, and she said, well, I love everybody. I hadn't got over that yet. You'd think I'd forget something like that after 49 years, but uh-uh. May I say, God don't forget either. He doesn't forget our choices. It took her a while to come around, make good sense, but. And sometimes it takes us a while to come around to the right answer. But God sure does want you to choose to walk in His will, to live to please Him, to love others, to care about others, to love Him, to love His church. Those are choices. Now listen to the scripture that we read. He says, for you know what commandments we gave you by the Lord Jesus, for this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that you should abstain from fornication. You say, I don't know how people can keep from falling into sin. They make a choice. You say, well, I've just been overcome. No. You make a choice that you're going to be true to your mate and true to God before temptation ever comes. You make a choice. It's not something you deal with when it hits you in the face. You make a choice. Well, I just don't know. I just don't know why I fell into sin, because you didn't make a choice to walk right. To walk in the Spirit. He said that every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor. Now what's he talking about? We have this gift from God in an earthen vessel. It's talking about our body. We need to learn how to possess this vessel. Have control over it. Well, I just can't help myself. You're out of control. Someone said, well, man, I just keep flying off the handle. Hey, you're out of control. You can control your temper. Give it to God. Yield to the Holy Spirit of God. Give God an opportunity to work in your life and work His will in you. It says, learn how to possess His vessel in sanctification and honor. He's saying, hey, set yourself apart to God. God has set you apart for Him if you're saved. Why don't you do that? There was a time. You say, how did you and Miss Smith get to the place where you started living for God and serving God? Long before God ever called me to preach. There was a time when we knelt together and gave Him our home. Gave Him our children. Gave Him our marriage. We made that choice. We chose to set that apart unto Christ. By the way, what of your life, your walk, your wallet, your family, your marriage, your children, that you've not given over to Him and His will? Think you can do it better than He can? You think you can build a life stronger than He can build? You can bless yourself greater than He can bless you? You think you can build a marriage greater than he can build if you'll give that marriage over to him? You think your decisions are wiser and better than his will and his principles if we'd learn to follow them? I have no regrets. Well, I take it back. I do have a regret. I regret that I didn't do it earlier in my marriage. Paul teaches us how to walk. He says, walk in sanctification and honor. Walk in a life that has been given over to God and a life that honors him. By the way, a life that honors Christ will honor your family. A life that honors Christ, husbands, will honor your wife. A life that honors Christ will honor your children. But oh, more importantly, it'll honor God. Ladies, a life that honors God will honor your husband. A life that honors your husband will honor God. Oh, how we need to make that choice. It's a choice. It's a choice. Well, bless God, we're just going to fight through the problem. You like to fight better than I do. I think some of you do. Some of you ought to have been named Cassius Clay. Because you like to fight. I don't. I like to love. There's some things that are not a lot more pleasing than fighting. And by the way, there's some things that are a lot more pleasing to God than our fighting each other and fighting other Christians and fighting in the church and fighting with this one and fighting with that one. It's a choice. It's a choice. That we should know how to possess our vessel in sanctification and honor. And then he tells us some ways we're not to live. Not in the lust of concupiscence. So what in the world does that mean? It means out of control sexual behavior. Sexual behavior out of the will of God. Even as the Gentiles which know not God. You say, wait a minute. Is it possible for me as a Christian to live like Gentiles that don't even know God? Yes, it is. And isn't that sad? Isn't that sad that there's Christians today who are living on such a low level of morality that they're living like people that have never heard about God or ever heard about the Bible? And you know why they're doing it? It's their choice. They've chosen to do so. It pleases God when we set ourselves apart to Him. Now, in His eyes, He's already chosen us. He's already forgiven us. He's cleansed us. He's saved us. He's made us His child. And He set us apart in a perfect standing in Christ Jesus in heaven. And He set us apart unto Him for service. Boy, it does please Him when we come and kneel at an altar and say, God, tonight, I'm choosing to give you my life. To live it like a Christian ought to live. To live it in such a way that it pleases God. It pleases God. Then he goes on to say that no man go beyond and defraud his brother in any matter. Now, what are we talking about? We're talking about our ways that please God. And he said, listen, living out of control sexually does not please God. In fact, it's one of the things that's an abomination in his sight. He goes on to say, living in such a way that you set yourself apart unto God and living to honor God pleases God. And then he says, that no man go beyond and defraud his brother in any matter. Talking about Christians taking advantage of other Christians. It's talking about selling them something that's not what you made it to be. It's talking about giving less than the full measure. It's talking about less than honest. Defrauding a brother. God said that makes me sick. In fact, another thing that's an abomination to God is a Christian using a false balance, a false scale, a false weight. Same thing, defrauding a brother. If anyone's going to be defrauded, I ought to be the one being willing to be defrauded, not me defrauding a brother. That's the biblical principle. It displeases God. When we say we're going to give you 8 hours of work and we cheat them out of 2 hours, that's defrauding a brother. It displeases God when we sell a brother a milk cow and the milk cow we know is going to be dead in 6 weeks. That's defrauding a brother. You know what I'm talking about. It's talking about bad business deals. It's talking about promising to do something and not doing what you promised. Making a contract for something and not fulfilling the contract. God said that displeases me. And he says, hey, let me remind you here, the Lord is the avenger of all such. Then he goes on in verse number 7 and says, for the Lord hath called us has not called us unto uncleanness, but to holiness. That means God has not called us, he's not saved us to live worldly, to live carnally, to live fleshly and selfishly, to live immorally. God has saved us to live holy. And that word holy simply means to live in a way that becomes God. Live godlike lives. Now he's not saying that we are to live sinlessly. We can't do that. I've told you often, we can't live in a state of sinless perfection. Only way a Christian can live above sin is to rent an apartment above a honky-tonk. We'll never get to the place, as long as we live in this body of flesh, that we don't sin. We ought to get to the place where we don't want to sin and we want to live like Jesus and we make decisions and keep our word and do those things in such a word that we magnify Him in our lives. Well, my time's up tonight. But it pleases the Lord when we want to walk in such a way to please Him. And when we choose not to do those things that don't please Him, it pleases God. Now I say again, I want to please Him with all my heart. I want to live in such a way that He is pleased with my life and my actions. God knows I have enough faults. And when we don't try to do right, oh my soul, all of the depravity and the sinfulness and the carnality comes out and begins to show. So God says, listen, it pleases me when you try to live to please me, to obey me, to walk in such a way that honors me, that obeys my word. It pleases God. And it pleases God when we make those choices to get away from those things and those activities that are pagan, that are fleshly, that are carnal, that are worldly, that are against what He stands for. There are two systems active in the world today. There's the world's system. The world system is secular. It's carnal. It's fleshly. It's ruled over by the prince and the power of the air. Then there is the system that's spiritual. It's godlike. It's Christ-honoring. It's Christ-centered. It's Bible-based. And we choose to live by the principles of one of those two systems. the world doesn't please God. In fact, the Bible says to Christians, if we're a friend of the world, we're an enemy to God. So if I'm going to please God, I've got to make a willful choice to come over here and say, Lord, I want to live to please you. I want to walk spiritually. I want to walk biblically. I want to walk and live in such a way that honors you and glorifies you in my life. I want to be a spiritual Christian, an obedient Christian, a spirit-filled Christian. And by the way, no one is spiritual that's not Holy Spirit-filled and controlled. Which are you tonight? Which are you? Heavenly Father, thank you for the simplicity of thy word. Thank you for the